The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this beautiful day that he has given to us, this second Sunday in Advent as we make our way ever closer to Jerusalem. Again, Advent midweek services are at 6:15, evening prayer, 6:15 in the narthex on Wednesday evenings. Also, this coming Wednesday in the morning at 9:30, Sierra College is going to have their final voice recital for the semester here, so their voice students will be singing here, so you are invited to join us at 9:30 right in here for that, and then we'll have our normal Wednesday morning divine service following that at 10:30. So if you're able to, 9:30 here Wednesday morning to hear the voice recital. Immediately following the service today, we are gathering next door for our congregational meeting. Sunday school will meet, but adults, we will gather for the congregational meeting. And in our prayers today, in addition to those in the grace notes, we'll also remember Charles and Jan Froh as they make their way back from the other side of the world to come home from service in the mission field. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. You, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. What we wear. We talked about it last week a little bit, being clothed in Christ, our uniform, as it were. Well, John the Baptist has a uniform, too, and it's a rather weird one. But John doesn't wear a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt because he wants to look like a hipster. He's dressed that way because those are a prophet's clothes. He's dressed like Elijah, the great Old Testament prophet. So these clothes help the prophet John keep his priorities straight. And the fact that his food was locust and wild honey emphasizes that John has more things on his mind than creature comforts. So that's why John the Baptist gives us such a good picture of the way Christians are to live through the divine power of baptism. In a sense, John is a picture of baptism because it's his clothing that keeps his priorities straight. In much the same way, in baptism, God has clothed you with righteousness, as the psalmist says, and with garments of salvation, as Isaiah says. So in baptism, God has dressed you in a beautiful garment, the righteousness of Christ. In baptism, God has clothed you more richly than King Solomon in all his glory. And you could say that in a way, he has also wrapped you in a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt. Because as with Elijah and with John, so it is with you. Your baptismal clothing will help you keep your priorities straight. Because God's gift of baptism will focus your attention only on those things that are most important for your eternal life and salvation, because, as John says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what priorities? St. Matthew writes, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what really matters in life? What is most important? If we truly believe what St. Matthew writes, repentance matters. We could even say that God's gift of repentance is the only thing that matters. Is it overstating things, though, to say that your baptismal repentance is all that really matters? Because there's probably a number of things flashing through your heads right now that Christians think matter as much as or even more than repentance. I mean, doesn't daily bread matter? Jesus tells you to pray for it daily. And we all have the bills to pay, and we all have the mouths to feed, and we all have generator gas tanks to keep full. But no, daily bread really doesn't matter. And it matters to you, but only because you love it so much. John's locusts and wild honey bear witness against you and condemn you for making daily bread the thing that occupies your minds the most. So yes, repentance matters more than daily bread. And so the clothing of your baptism keeps your priorities straight there because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So baptism forces your ears to hear the promises of God that you really don't want to believe. Things like, your heavenly Father knows what you need, and all these things will be added to you. And not necessarily all the things on the Christmas list. Well, what about morality then? I mean, surely morality is a high priority in life because our nation is going to hell in a handbasket, right? And we need something to try and fix it. No. Morals don't matter any more than daily bread does. Because Almighty God gave you His gift of baptism so that you could cover your morals in Christ's righteousness and hide His eyes from the sins and the offenses that your morals bring. Because if morals truly mattered, why don't you behave any better as you age? Because if morals truly mattered, John wouldn't need to preach repentance because you'd be behaving better now and wouldn't have anything to repent of. So repentance matters more than morality does. The clothing of your baptism, again, keeps your priorities straight because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So your baptism allows you the ongoing realization of the guilt of your immoral flesh so that you'll be chased back to Jesus again in faith. Your baptism has cleansed you from all your sins, even your self-righteous morality. Okay, it's got to be love for neighbor, right? Surely love for your neighbor matters, because Jesus says that loving your neighbor is the second great commandment. Still no. Compared to the repentance that God has given you in your baptism, not even love for your neighbor really matters. Because God's gift of repentance is truly nothing other than a divinely created love for God above all things. You could say that repentance is the first commandment and love for neighbor is just the second. Because repentance matters more than your neighbor. And so the clothing of your baptism keeps your priorities straight because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's baptismal gift of repentance creates love for your neighbor, though, in much the same way that the sun creates warmth or the ocean creates the waves. You love your neighbor because God creates repentance in you by the power of your baptism. Or to use the words of St. John, we love because God first loved us. So St. Matthew says that John wore this garment of camel's hair and a leather belt. He doesn't wear them because they're in his job description, as if God required the uniform. John wore the garment of camel's hair and the leather belt because of the ancient identity that God had given him. God made John his prophet, and a prophet wears a prophet's clothes. So also, God made you his beloved child when he baptized you into Christ. God the Father clothed you with Christ, giving you your garment of camel's hair and leather belt, as it were. That is, in your baptism, God gave you every part of your new identity in him. That includes your sorrow over your sin and your faith in the forgiveness that Christ Jesus has made yours. So in the end, this forgiveness is all that matters. It doesn't matter how easily you seem to get sidetracked, because that sin remains forgiven as surely as all your other sins are forgiven in Jesus. Your baptismal clothing will keep your priorities straight because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.